It's 3 days into the Tour de France, and American Dave Zabriskie wears the yellow jersey of the overall lead, although Belgian Tom Boonen won today's stage with an impressive final sprint. But neither of those men can claim the spotlight that still belongs to one rider, Lance Armstrong. The six-time winner has announced that this will be his final year in the race, and although he's well set in second place right now, already it's been a difficult road. If you're following Lance's final ride or rooting for anyone else in the race, give us a call at 800-989-TALK. That's 800-989-8255. With us now to talk about Lance's last chance at the Tour de France is Daniel Coyle, author of the book Lance Armstrong's War, One Man's Battle Against Fate, Fame, Love, Death, Scandal, and a few other rivals on the road to the Tour de France. He joins us by phone from his office in Homer, Alaska. Thanks for being with us, Daniel.
You're welcome.
That's the longest title of a book I've ever had to read.
If you can read it without taking a breath, you must be in pretty good shape.
Yeah. So what are Lance Armstrong's chances? Can he win it again this year?
It looks pretty good. Lance's team has got a tradition, his mechanics, right before he goes to the line. They don't wish him good luck, and they don't say, hope you do well today. They say, let's fly. And so far, it's pretty safe to say, based on the first three stages, that he is achieving liftoff.
What does he have to overcome? What are the toughest things, challenges ahead for him?
Well, the Tour is a real, it's generous with challenges. There's plenty of things. For instance, crashing is sort of the first one. He had a large crash just about a week before the Tour, broke his helmet in half and scarred up his face a little bit. There are his rivals, of course, who are a tough group of kids and riders, men and boys from all over Europe, some of the toughest people there do that sport. The sport really pushes the body to the absolute limit. And so when it comes down to it, though, I think in some ways this Tour is going to be Lance versus Lance. He is the strongest guy out there. He showed that in the first stage, and now it's going to be a question if he can make it to the finish line.
What about some external factors that might either help or hurt Lance Armstrong, terrain, for instance, or weather?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, the things that get in the way of that he worries about are crashing, first of all, and getting sick. It is a sort of a Darwinian race, and his rivals are going to be watching him very closely for even the smallest thing. Last year, one of the most interesting, sort of quietly interesting moments happened when Sheryl Crow developed the sniffles during the first week of the Tour. Small thing to you and me, a very large thing to a guy like Lance, who is pushing his body to the absolute limit. A cold can diminish his capacity for producing power by a significant amount. It can erase his margin. And so after she got a cold, she went away from the Tour for a little while and then came back. And so to watch her sneeze, that was, you know, rather quietly sort of a potential turning point of the Tour. So his rivals will be watching him, and as Lance says, I would never cough in front of them, and I know they would never cough in front of me. Being invulnerable is the same thing as seeming invulnerable, and Lance is very good at seeming invulnerable.
Now, the fact that he's in the second place right now, is that calculated? Is that at all an issue, or is that where he wants to be at this moment? Getting ready to
he's got to be pretty pleased, Lynn. I mean, he's put about a minute into each of his main rivals. The fellow who's in front of him is a countryman by the name of Dave Zabriskie, and he's only 2 seconds behind. So many people around Lance thought that what he wanted to do at this last Tour is to run the table, to win the first stage and to hold the yellow jersey for the entire race, which would be a real measure of his appetite for winning. And he failed that by 2 seconds in the first stage. But by tomorrow's stage, he might well be back in yellow.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about Dave Zabriskie, because he's not even – isn't he supposed to be a backup for the team that he's playing? I'm not using the term correctly, but he's not the lead for his team, is he?
He's not. He's been known primarily – he's a 26-year-old from Utah who's been known mostly as the only guy in cycling who could moonlight as a correspondent on The Daily Show. He's absolutely hilarious. When you ask him his favorite sport, he will sincerely go into how much he loves croquet. And then if you ask him how he trains, he will mention the video Salsa with the Stars that he's been practicing to. He's very funny. And the interesting thing about Dave is, like a lot of bike racers, some very unfunny things have happened to him. He broke his leg and his wrist a year and a half ago when he was sideswiped by an SUV, and he had a terrible crash just a little more than a year ago, which gave him a concussion and nearly put him out of the sport. Lance is famous for coming back after cancer, for coming back from a very difficult situation. But as you get into bike racing, you realize that all of these guys are coming back from something. As the saying goes, they don't pick the sport as much as the sport chooses them.
And Lance Armstrong may be a favorite for Americans, but what about for the French? I understand they've got their own favorite over there.
They do. There's a fellow by the name of Thomas Vokler who held the yellow jersey for about 10 days last year, who's hugely popular and who's done quite well so far this year. Vokler, interestingly, has his own story. He was a kid from Martinique, and his father was lost at a young age. His father was a sailor, and he just like Armstrong's father, sort of left him a bit of an orphan, and just like Jan Ullrich, Armstrong's German rival, grew up without a father, Thomas Vokler also grew up without a father. And in some ways, overcoming this is part of their story. This sport is about people who can take great amounts of pain. And so the French respect that and worship it, and Vokler is their man.
And Lance Armstrong is also getting the support of the crowd over there as well, though, is he?
Well, that's an interesting point. I mean, he is and he isn't. He's dominated that sport. You know, in a sport where a minute is worth a touchdown in football, he's won the last six tours by an average of about six touchdowns. When he crosses the line in France, there's a sound, and it's the sound of a whole country sort of sighing in resignation. There's a little bit of applause and some respect. There's some people that bait him and try to go after him and scream at him. But most people, I think, are waiting with the kind of patience and resignation for him to move off stage.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us today, Daniel.
You're welcome.
Daniel Coyle is the author of Lance Armstrong's War. He was with us by phone from his home in Homer, Alaska. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And finally today, we say goodbye to our director, Brendan Banaszak. We'll miss his calmness, his sense of humor, and his taste on music. He selected the songs that make up the Talk of the Nation soundtrack every day. He also produced a number of fantastic live performances for us with artists like Jeff Farina and Mike Doty.
Well, a country song is a country song. And I swear St. Francis, he would have sang along.
Like a soap star in anguish will but bland when your white Lexus comes around the way. I lay in the long driveway, try to feel nothing on command when your white Lexus comes